Labor and production scheduling. Labor scheduling needs to meet certain long and short-term goals. Long-term goals include attracting and retaining qualified staff and promoting a positive work environment. Medium to short-term goals are derived from the needs of the production plan and more detailed priority plans. These goals include maintaining targeted customer service levels, maximizing employee productivity, and ensuring sufficient labor capacity in specific work centers. Production is scheduled using production orders. The goal of production activity control related to production scheduling is to synchronize labor to meet the needs of the related priority plans. That is, labor is scheduled after accounting for various constraints. The labor scheduling process involves the following steps: defining scheduling rules, assessing demand, assessing supply, the resource pool, assigning shifts per the rules and per availability. Maintaining schedules based on changes in demand or supply, for example, employee no-shows, using a feedback loop to improve the process. Setting labor schedules is often facilitated using scheduling software, which enables creating templates for various positions and avoiding gaps or overstaffing. Templates can ensure that workers have the proper qualifications. Rules can be set related to when a particular employee can and cannot be scheduled, either to enforce general policies, for example, seniority, or to honor agreements made with specific personnel, for example, to accommodate a second job. The software will also contain the shop floor calendar and enable scheduling of shifts based on availability as well as scheduling vacations denoting holidays and so on. Shift scheduling enables defining the shift location, which is vital for employees who work at more than one work center. Scheduling software can also highlight exceptions for review. The software or another system may verify time and attendance. Some software even has features that let employees trade shifts. A labor skills matrix can be used to help with scheduling as well as employee development. This can be an element in scheduling or training software, or a simple spreadsheet with columns for employees and rows for required skills, such as Work Center 123 operation or quality control supervision. A labor skills matrix can take many forms, but the idea is to rank each employee's skill or knowledge level relative to other employees. In addition, there can be a ranking on the level of supervision the employee requires, as well as the employee's interest in gaining proficiency in the area. A simple ranking such as between 0 to 3 in each area may suffice. Schedule maintenance includes accommodating necessary changes, for example, cutting shifts short due to low demand, as well as reviewing the successes and failures of past schedules. Examining past schedules can reveal chronic areas of labor capacity under/overstaffing or provide information for future staffing or scheduling, such as a need to have more staff in certain seasonal periods. Schedule types. Labor schedules can be fixed, floating, or flexible. A fixed schedule will have defined start and end times for all similar employees. A floating schedule puts employees in various shifts that can differ considerably within the rules set for the employee. Such a schedule can be prepared long in advance or at the last minute, but a best practice is to prepare schedules in advance to the degree possible to reduce employee frustration. It is best to reserve last-minute changes for exceptions such as sick time or no-shows. Floating schedules can also accommodate demand, and this is a primary reason for their use. For example, in a service environment, there may be one or two openers, some workers who start at midday, and others who start late and help close. The timing of the overlap of workers is designed to ensure peak labor at peak demand and minimum labor, for example, a requirement for two closers at low demand. Flexible schedules enable different start and end times to accommodate individual needs, but the individual's shifts are thereafter fixed until a change is approved. Flexible schedules could also be developed that accommodate peak demand times. Such schedules can reduce absenteeism or other problems and can be seen as a benefit to some workers. Flexible schedules are not usable in some environments or positions, however. If the minimum number of workers are not present at the same time in a work cell, for example, that cell or line cannot operate. Issuing production orders. Issuing production orders as scheduled involves releasing schedules that indicate the start and completion of each job. This can involve automated or manual systems that use Gantt charts or some other form of exact scheduling and or rely on priority sequencing and dispatching rules to enable flexibility as priorities change. For example, if theory of constraints scheduling is used, the bottleneck work centers will receive an exact schedule of jobs, while non-bottleneck work centers will be sequenced using predetermined priority sequencing rules. Once a schedule is prepared, the production coordinator needs to ensure that the necessary capacity, materials, and tooling are available prior to release so the work can proceed. If these are not available, the orders are not released. Production coordinators need to be out on the shop floor frequently so they can learn about any missing resources or other issues, and thus not release orders that cannot be processed on schedule. Other orders that do have the necessary resources can be run instead. Orders need to be authorized by material requirements, planning, or kanbans, etc. The production coordinator prepares a shop order packet for each order that will have all materials and capacity available. Shop order packet. An online or printed shop order packet includes the shop order, manufacturing order, which is an authorization for the specified quantity of a specific part number to be made. Alternately, the schedule can serve as the shop order in some environments. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a manufacturing order as a document, group of documents, or a schedule conveying authority for the manufacture of specified parts or products in specified quantities. The shop packet will contain anything else the shop floor needs to successfully produce the products, such as quantities, engineering drawings, chemical formulas, bills of material, and route sheets, setup and run times, sequence of operations, materials needed, and tools needed. Shop orders are identified by shop order number, part number, name, and description. Additional authorizations may also need to be issued. Material issue tickets and/or pick lists to pull materials from inventory and to charge the material against the shop order account for its use. Tool requisitions that enable checking tools and dies out from the tool crib. Job tickets for each operation in the routing, which authorize operations at specific work centers and may be used to record when work is actually started and completed. Move tickets, which authorize movement to the next work center, to shipping, or to inventory, and may indicate movement lot sizes. Note that this information often exists only within an enterprise resources planning or production activity control system, and each work center will see just the portions of the shop order packet pertaining to them. They will enter their results into the system, and all authorizations or other checks and balances occur in the system. Note that the term work order is sometimes treated as a synonym for shop order or manufacturing order, but the following ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary definition clarifies that the primary meaning of work order is authorization for equipment maintenance. 1. An order to the machine shop for tool manufacture or equipment maintenance. This is not to be confused with a manufacturing order. 2. An authorization to start work on an activity, for example maintenance, or a product. Assigning labor schedules. The labor requirement at the execution level is determined by which production orders were issued in each period, for example the load. Assigning labor schedules involves working within the constraints of supply and demand. Supply constraints include equipment capacity as well as labor constraints. Labor constraints include legal and regulatory compliance, for example maximum shift lengths, as well as human resources constraints, such as honoring agreements made with unions or works councils or with individuals, including shift preferences or vacation time. The manufacturing shop calendar is also an important input for calculating when labor needs to be scheduled and when things like holidays occur. Demand constraints in manufacturing will depend heavily on whether schedules are chase, level, or hybrid, as discussed elsewhere. For service industries, assigning labor schedules is the primary way that supply and demand are balanced in the short term. Equipment capacity can still play a role, for example, too many cooks in the kitchen. But within these constraints, scheduling needs to ensure that enough labor of the right types is available for forecast demand, not only by day, but also by time of day. If employee absenteeism is common, it may be necessary to overschedule to ensure that sufficient labor is available, at least for peak periods. As demand becomes actualized, it may be higher or lower than predicted, and there may need to be a system for some workers to be on call or to extend work shifts within regulatory limits, and or a system for voluntary or mandatory shortening of shifts.